36, breaking news for folks in Green Bay. The results of an investigation into Officer Wicklund of the Green Bay Police Department, who was caught on that viral video using what some people thought excessive force, and then Green Bay's investigation into that was reviewed by the Department of Justice. A news conference got underway at 9:30. Officer Wicklund has been exonerated. Their finding is there was nothing inappropriate about the arrest. And even those of you outside the Green Bay area, I talked about it, and I'm sure that you saw it, or you may have seen it, the viral YouTube video of an arrest at Bar Time in downtown Green Bay. Officer Wicklund has been exonerated, which had already been reported by the Green Bay Press Gazette. But apparently, the state's review doesn't contradict the Green Bay Police Department's finding. Jason is a little surprised. I am told, well, we are told, it was released yesterday, that there are other camera angles, squad car, other cell phone, that there is more. So when we see it, I'll share that. I'll talk about that tomorrow. By the way, Senator Ron Johnson at 10:36, just trying to throw out everything that's good. Busy day on the show. We'll get to more on that tomorrow. But the report, the investigation, not only by the city of Green Bay, but reviewed by the State Justice Department, exonerates Officer Wicklund in the YouTube arrest, as it's come to be called, of any wrongdoing. 406-13, we're not talking about that, by the way. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. Someone writing a column in the Appleton Post-Crescent said, Wisconsin is losing young people to more socially liberal states. A study in Reason magazine, a survey rather by Reason, or on website, whatever, suggests that, yes, millennials 18 to 29 are much more socially liberal. Legalized pot, same-sex marriage, I don't think that includes abortion. But they are fiscally conservative. This is a new phenomenon. I disagree. This generation gap is not like the generation gap of 40 years ago. It's completely different. An emailer thinks this is the same old, I couldn't disagree more. That's entirely the point here, because they're split. They're socially liberal, but they are fiscally conservative. One emailer says that makes them libertarians. The question is, does this mean that those who say conservatives should give up on social issues are right? That if the conservative movement becomes about fiscal conservatism and almost nothing else, that we will become the dominant conservative political ideology in the country. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. Mariah in De Pere. Mariah, hi, you're on the Jerry A. Bader Show.
Hi, Jerry. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I would fall into the Gen X. I'm around the same age as Jason. And I've gotten to travel a lot and live in different states other than Wisconsin, although Wisconsin is my home state, so just to preface what I'm about to say. But I do believe what that emailer had said would actually be true. I think that particularly in my generation era and younger, because I do have younger friends, that would be true. I think that we are closer to being libertarians than we are to being liberal or conservative. And quite honestly, what I find, too, in conversations with them is those two labels also tend to pull people regardless of anything. I know I first myself personally fall into that. I don't want people telling me what to do with my personal life, regardless of the social issue. I'm straight. I don't do drugs or anything like that. But I don't really give, two hoots, who you sleep with or if you smoke pot or not. Just don't do it around me, and I don't want to get a contact buzz. Other than that, I don't care what you do. It's not my business, and I really don't care.
Isn't that really the question, Mariah? Can you insulate yourself the way you just described? Doesn't people using pot affect all of society?
No, I really don't think it does.
I do.
The reason why I don't think it does is because, like alcohol, it is a drug. Okay? And as such, trying to tell people, the more you tell somebody, in most cases, no, you can't have that, the more that they're going to do it. And that's just, it may be addiction reasons, but in many cases, it's simply because people don't like being told what they can and can't do with their own personal lives. On the flip side of that, I do believe that most of my people that I hang around with and so on are fiscally conservative. Many of them are entrepreneurs. Many of them have gone to college and either failed at college, or their degrees were worthless and they learned the hard way that, you know, going for basket weaving is not going to help you. And so they had either go back or whatever the case might be, and now they have really looked at the way the world works. And I really think that most people that are quote-unquote middle of the road are similar to that. There are some that do have strong opinions on some social issues. I think that's becoming a smaller and smaller and smaller percentage. I think most people just want to be left alone and don't think that government in any form has any right to tell us what to do with our personal lives, whether that's drinking a 20-ounce soda or smoking a joint and whatever. Should there be laws like there are for drinking and driving when it comes to pot? Absolutely. Okay. But on the flip side, is it any of your business if I want to sit down and have a beer in my house or smoke a joint in my house? No. None of your damn business, and stay out of my life.
Mariah, thanks a lot for the call. And that was a very, very good call. The argument is that that is where the conservative movement must go. That conservatism means fiscal conservatism, and that in reality, we need to give up on the social issues. If, as a national movement, we want to be the dominant ideology. I read a piece from the Post-Crescent where a woman says we are losing young liberals to other states, but the reason survey seems to show when young people say liberal, they mean social issues. But actually, the Occupy Wall Street movement is a facade. It's phony. It doesn't represent the fiscal views of millennials 18 to 29. So that if the conservative movement was predominantly the Scott Walker movement, the woman writing in the Appleton Post-Crescent said Act 10 is chasing people out, young people out, the survey would say no. That they are fiscally conservative, they're entrepreneurial, and they think they should succeed on their merits. Which is really surprising because, quite frankly, that's not the way they were raised. And it's interesting that they do see the world that way. For some time now, there are those who have been saying, look, if you're going to get young people, you have to give up on these social issues. I have conceded that conservatives have lost the same-sex marriage issue. It's over. And quite frankly, it does look like we're losing the legalized marijuana debate as well. My quandary is you can argue, why fight losing battles? But there are underpinnings of an organized society, and I believe the nuclear family is one of them. And we haven't come up with anything to replace that. If society crumbles, you can't have fiscal success. They are not mutually exclusive. If you have social excesses, you can't necessarily have fiscal success. The problem here, I think, is thinking they're mutually exclusive. However, that said, and like I said yesterday, when someone says that said, they're about to contradict themselves. Politically, I think she's right. Now, she threw in fiscal issues. That's what makes her wrong, overall. But yeah, if the conservative movement became predominantly about fiscal conservatism, I think it would be stronger. I'm not going to lie. But I don't think if you acquiesce in all these social issues and go where social liberals want to go, I don't think you can have a strong society. That's my opinion. But if you don't win elections, you can't do anything. This is the quandary I think the modern conservative movement faces. Craig in Green Bay. Craig, hi, you're on the Jerry Bader Show.
Morning, Jerry. I
I think that for myself, and I'm in that same Gen X crowd that your last caller was, I guess I see it slightly differently, but I agree for the most part. I don't think it's so much about not caring about what all those social issues are. I think it's just about, hey, let's not focus on those right now. Rather than fighting those is, you know, tooth and nail like we have in the past, say, okay, you know what, I'm still going to vote the same way I have the whole time, but it's not our platform. It's not what we're focusing on. I agree with you that the social issues still have some great merit in that the family unit has been degraded over the years, and we don't want to give up on those. Just don't make those our priority at this point, because I believe the fiscal issues are so far more important than the social issues at this point. And like my father used to always tell me, you know, you got to pick your battles. And right now, those aren't battles that we're seeing any great outcomes from at this point.
Well, but here's what people would say in response to you. When you say don't make it a priority, that means you don't care about it.
Well, I guess what, you know, in the way that the last caller framed it was, I really don't care what you do. I guess I'm kind of one of these that would say maybe on the fence when it comes to like legalized marijuana. I don't, if I had to vote on it, I'd probably vote against it. But it's not something that I'm going to put any great energy into opposing. You know, so it's, I guess the term give up is where I have a problem, is that, you know, if they want to push into the state and push for legalized marijuana, I probably wouldn't say, hey, I just let it go. But on the other hand, when we're fighting for elections, we're talking about these things. I don't think those are the topics that we should be talking about over and over and over again, like we should be with the fiscal issues.
Craig, thanks a lot for the call. And the question becomes, can you just say we don't care about this stuff or make it less of a priority? And is there really a difference between the two? I will tell you this, though. My daughters fit this template completely. They are fiscally conservative and socially, I would say, liberal on some things, on a lot of things. I find it interesting that what defines social liberalism for this exercise is pot legalization and same-sex marriage. And if pot legalization is okay, what about heroin, cocaine, and much more serious drugs for recreational use? Terry in Wausau. Terry, go ahead.
Yes, hi, Jerry. Hi. Just wanted to comment on the previous female caller, and I'd like to, you know her views for the long-range projection of legalizing marijuana and how nobody's business what she does in her own home. What happens when it does become an addiction and now she can't do her job? The job has to cover for her because it's not legal to fire them because of it's an addiction, it's an illness. Does she think that employers and the rest of us should pay for that insurance for their care once it becomes that?
And as I just said on the air, Terry, if she's okay with legalized marijuana, how about cocaine?
Correct.
Or heroin?
But they're not looking at it in the future. What is the consequences? I don't think it should be my business to pay for it either when it does become an illness for them, because that was their body. They chose to do it. Let them choose to pay for it and correct it.
And that, I believe, is the false narrative here, that these issues are mutually exclusive. By the way, nobody's business. Have you noticed on the Hobby Lobby case they brought up, my contraception isn't my boss's business? They think that's clever, but I want him to pay for it. But it's not his business. Ted on the road. Ted, go ahead.
Hey, Jerry. Interesting discussion. A couple of points. I think you made a very good point here just in one of your commentaries. It's about winning elections. So how does the party, say, want to adopt a more forward-looking view without alienating the base? You know, there's a lot of folks out there who vote because of the social issues. If you downplay that, do you risk losing the, say, the plus 55-year-olds at the risk, you know, at the possible gain of bringing in the younger voters? So, you know, and I agree with the young lady that called earlier. I think that was one of the best calls that I've heard in the last couple, 3 weeks. But, you know, the problem for the party is this. You know, how do you do it? How do you win elections with a quandary like this?
An emailer with whom I often disagree, Ted, just made a really good point. People, you know, maybe this older generation will be more conservative than the younger generation because times have changed, but generations tend to get more conservative as they get older, all generations. Remember, thanks a lot for the call. Remember, the boomers were the hippies and the druggies and everything else, and now we're considered hypocrites because we have, at least some of us, have gotten more socially conservative. What if 20 years from now, the millennials, I was just a dumb kid. I don't believe that anymore. Joe on the road. Hang on. You're next. It's 9:52.
Join the Jerry Bader Facebook fan page. Go to jerrybadershow.com.